Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. And we hope that you're also enjoying this series that we are presenting on the radio, dealing with issues of our day. In fact, many of them, as we are contrasting and comparing with biblical prophecy. Well, one of the issues that we're facing today is this Black Lives Matter movement. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, from a scriptural perspective, we are all descendants of Adam. There's only one race, and that is the human race. Because of the chemical makeup within our bodies, we have different skin tones around the world from different regions, yet we are all one race. And Jesus died because every life matters. However, the Black Lives Matter movement is promoting many things that are quite evidently contrary to the gospel and contrary to Jesus Christ. In fact, if you are a Christian, that term means a Christ follower. So this sermon that we are getting ready to present is going to look at elements on the Black Lives Matter website, that particular organization, and certain things that they stand for. And we're going to compare that to the Word of God. And we're going to determine logically and factually whether this organization actually is standing for Christ or actually anti-Christ. Listen very carefully, and we invite you to order any of our sermons. You can call our church offices, and they're available to you at nominal expense via video or audio. But we hope that you enjoy this message entitled Christianity and the Black Lives Matter Movement.
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word. Here's Pastor Paul Blair.
Ephesians chapter 5. Read with me verse 1 down to 11. Understand the context here. Be ye therefore, church, and that's what Ephesians deals with, writing obviously to the church in Ephesus, but dealing with this mystery body that was hidden in the Old Testament that we call the ecclesia, this called out assembly. You, church, be followers of God as dear children, and walk in agape as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once among you. So all sexual sins and socialism as become a saints. Neither filthiness or foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. And this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were at one time in darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11 is our focus. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them and refute them and stand in opposition to them. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the Word of God. Today we're going to preach a message entitled Christianity and the Black Lives Matter Movement. Folks, Christianity has been easy in America. In fact, especially in the Bible Belt. You can't run for office without claiming to be pro-life and be a Christian, whether you really are or not. So, what is a Christian? Well, it begins with a decision. When Jesus said, hey, come follow me, you have a choice. And the answer is either yes or no. Now, you might make excuses. Oh, Lord, allow me to go and bury my father first. You may make an excuse, but it's just an excuse. The reality is you're either giving a yes or no answer. You're either following or you aren't following. In the Jewish culture, they call this a halak or halakha. It is your walk. It doesn't just mean taking steps. A rabbi didn't teach in a classroom. A rabbi's disciples, he said, come, follow me, and they did. They lived life learning on the go, imitating the behavior of their rabbi, following his doctrine and interpretation of Torah and the Holy Scriptures. So as Christians, we begin with a yes when Jesus says, come, follow me. But that is not the end. That is the new beginning or the new birth. Again, in the ancient Hebrew language, there's only about 7,000 words. We have about 100,000 words in modern English. So when you study the Hebrew, the words have greater, deeper meaning. It's critical that you study them in context. The word Shema is significant to the Jews. It comes from Deuteronomy 6:4, or one of the main places that they focus on. This is the scripture that they put on the doorpost. This is the scripture that they'll wear on their heads and wrap on their arms. It says, Shema Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Well, this word Shema means to hear or to listen, but the same word also means to do. So from a Hebrew perspective, it was understood. Once Jesus said, come follow me, you'd only heard, but you responded by actually following Jesus. So being a Christian is one who recognizes their sinful state and hopelessness within themselves, recognizes that Jesus, as the Lamb of God, did the finished work, the death, burial, and resurrection for your sins, and then just as the imagery that was taught in the Old Testament, a father would bring a sacrificial offering, most often a lamb, and he would atone for his sins and the sins of his family by placing his hands on the head of that sacrificial offering and confessing or transferring, supposedly, again, it was a type. We know in Hebrews that the blood of bulls and goats didn't actually take away sins. We know it was done in faith, looking forward to the Lamb of God, whose sacrifice would actually take away sins. But reach over and place his hands on the head of that offering, symbolically transferring your sins. So when you trust Christ, you are in effect reaching over and placing your hands on the head of the sacrificial Lamb of God and saying, Jesus, I'm asking you and trusting you to be my Lord and my Savior. I surrender all. Now, as Savior, Jesus is your substitutionary sacrifice. He is your kinsman redeemer. He is your sacrificial Lamb of God. But as Lord, well, you're committing to walk with him and to follow him. Hence, we get the term Christian, which means a follower of Christ. So how are we doing with all that? Is your life consistent with being a follower of Christ? The Apostle Paul, being a devout Hebrew, said, whatsoever you do, doesn't matter, even eating and drinking, whatever you do, everything that you do should be done to glorify God. And in our scripture text this morning, we saw very clearly, it says, you Christians have no fellowship. That word means don't share in, don't participate with those that are involved in the barren works, deeds of wickedness. And don't just take a neutral position. Instead, you should expose them, rebuke them, and stand against them. So, as Christians, this morning we're going to examine the primary stated goals of the Black Lives Matter movement. Last week, we saw a video where Patrice Cullors, one of the founders of the BLM movement, stated in a very friendly interview, it wasn't like this was a hostile reporter, but admitted that she was a trained organizer. Folks, when's the first time you ever heard the word community organizer? Think about it. She was a trained organizer. A trained Marxist is what she said. That's her purpose. As a matter of fact, you see another interview. It might have been the tail end of that same one. But you see a same video saying that their number one goal is to get Trump out of office. How is it that so little of their conversation actually seems to deal with black lives? We're going to look this morning, are the goals and the belief system of this organization consistent with the scripture? Point number one, Black Lives Matter is anti-Christ because it supports the murder of preborn babies. Look at this picture I found on the internet. Beautiful little black baby in the womb came out. There is. Boy, I sure am glad that that mother thought that that life mattered. What a beautiful child, just as alive here as the child is alive there. But BLM co-founder Alicia Garza said this in an interview with Colorlines.com. She said, reproductive justice, notice that term, that's a catchword for unfettered abortion on demand, anywhere, everywhere, for everyone, at all states of pregnancy. Reproductive justice is very much situated within the Black Lives Matter movement. So we certainly understand that BLM and reproductive justice go hand in hand. Folks, we know what God intended. God established and designed the home, the basic building block for civilization. Here's what it is. Supposed to start with a man with eyes firmly fixed on Jesus and in love with Jesus. Joined together with a woman with her eyes fixed on Jesus. Totally in love with Jesus and surrendered to Jesus. Enjoying the sexual intimacy that God created and gave to be held sacred within the boundaries and bonds of the covenant of marriage, and then blessed with children, raising those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's God's design in a nutshell. Well, the devil comes along and seeks to deceive. He says, you can sleep with whosoever you want to, whenever you want to. And then if there happens to be an inconvenient product of that union, you can simply throw your babies into the fires of Molech. Folks, abortion isn't something new to our days. There's nothing new under the sun. This has been around for nearly 5,000 years. It's why the Canaanites were kicked out of the promised land. They would take these babies from these unions and take them and throw them in the fire of the god Molech. There would be drugs. There would be alcohol. There would be drunkenness. There would be all sorts of ritual orgies. And they would beat drums called the Toph, where the Valley of Hinnom is sometimes referred to as Tophet, the Valley of Drums. They would beat the drums so loud, trying to drown out the cries of these babies burned alive. Well, now we just simply do it in a clinic. We do it inside the womb, and no one can ever hear that child scream because it's dead before it's brought out and its lungs can actually grasp air. You know what's ironic? The racist Margaret Sanger created Planned Parenthood specifically to try to wipe out the Negro population in America. Here is this lovely lady, this hero of Hillary Clinton, this stated hero of Joe Biden, this hero of Barack Obama, with a stated goal of trying to wipe out black children in America. As a matter of fact, even though the current black population in the United States is only 13.4%, according to blackgenocide.org, black abortion accounts for 1,876 black babies being murdered in the womb every day. Let me ask you, how in good conscience can Black Lives Matter support such a blatantly racist effort to eliminate black Americans? And folks, let me tell you, we say, oh, God is love. Yes, God is love. And God is righteous. And you can't love righteousness unless you hate that which is wicked. And God hates wickedness. As a matter of fact, he lists 7 here in Proverbs chapter 6. God hates hands that shed the blood of innocence. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's not a single thing that's going on throughout human history that God hasn't kept track of. There will not be one single sin that goes unaccounted for. And every person that rejects the atonement and the forgiveness that's offered in the blood of Christ will one day stand before Jesus at the great white throne judgment and will give an account for every action. Margaret Sanger will be there. I can't wait. Point number two. Black Lives Matter is anti-Christ because it promotes homosexuality and transgenderism. We know in the book of Genesis, it says that on day six, God formed man. Up until this point, God simply spoke, and it was. God spoke animal life. God spoke sea life. Male and female created simultaneously. But when it came to man, created in God's image, God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils and only created the man. Now, everything God had done was good. But God stopped and made an observation. He said, my work has been excellent. However, it's not good that a man should be alone. Oh, okay, Lord, thank you for pointing that out to us. What are you going to do about it? I will make and help meet for him. I will give him a perfect complement. I will give him exactly what he needs and exactly what I want him to have. What did God do? Did he give man another man? Did he give man an animal? No. God, in fact, I find it interesting that God didn't even create another dust pile to form the woman. God put Adam to sleep, took a part from Adam, a rib, close to his heart, she could be loved under his arms, and she could be protected. God took from him a part of Adam, and Adam wasn't whole until he was rejoined with his rib. And those two became one. God created Adam, man and women very different. Folks, and it wasn't by accident. God created us as sexual beings and designed us to be sexually compatible. Do you really think that God made Adam and Eve and stood back and said, oh my goodness, I didn't see that coming? He made us just the way he did on purpose. He gave the sexual union to be held in purity and holiness between a husband and wife, period. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 13:4 says this, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. As you sit here and say, oh, sex is dirty. Wasn't supposed to be. That's Satan's deception. You've bought the lie. Sexual intimacy between a husband and wife uses this word, undefiled. In Hebrews chapter 7, when talking about our great high priest in verse 26, who is holy and undefiled, it is that same word, undefiled. Describing Jesus, the author of the scripture also uses to describe the intimacy that's held sacred within a husband and wife. In fact, Jesus, when addressing the subject of marriage in the temple, as recorded in Matthew 19, said this, have you not read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall become one flesh. That therefore God has joined together. Let not man put asunder. Folks, when the Bible talks about holiness and righteousness throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament scriptures alike, the emphasis when it's talking about righteousness always deals with and includes sexual purity. And understand the contrast. In all idolatry, they had temple priests and temple priestesses. Sexual immorality was encouraged. What did God say? One man, one woman. Sex is pure within that boundary and that boundary alone. The devil says have sex with whoever you want to and we'll burn the accidental byproduct of unwanted pregnancies. That is as ungodly as you can possibly be. So with idolatry, you had the sexual immorality and the byproduct from it. Now, with as a Christ follower, our lives should exude and demonstrate purity and holiness in all of these issues. And understand, where does God stand on the issue of homosexuality? Well, God's been very consistent. Over 6,000 years of human history in the Bible, beginning in Eden, God created a female when he said, I'm going to give Adam exactly what I want him to have. 1,800 years before Christ, we see the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah for their sodomy, wasn't for inhospitality. They make a reference to something over in Ezekiel, talks about being inhospitable. Folks, they were trying to be way too hospitable with those angels that came and visited at Sodom. Moses was given the law, and it said in the law, men are not to have relationships with men, women are not to have relationships with women, reaffirm that. Jesus, in 32 A.D., reaffirmed the definition of marriage, and then in all the apostles, roughly 50 A.D., all the epistles written by the apostles clearly condemn homosexuality, by the way, and all sexual immorality as sin, and calls for holiness and purity. And I would say this, you that want to call yourselves Christians, yet refuse to repent and turn from this wickedness and follow the Lord, stop it! There is room at the cross for you, but ladies and gentlemen, repentance is understood. Remember that term, Shema, hear and do. It's the same word. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says this, and he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth or from now on live unto themselves, but unto Jesus who died for us and rose again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old life has passed away. All things are become new. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That describes both ends of the homosexual act. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such, what's this word? Were some of you. But now you're washed, now you're sanctified, now you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Hey, quit trying to win the argument and justify your behavior. It doesn't matter whether you think you have won an argument on Twitter by twisting your interpretation of the Bible. One day, you're going to stand before Jesus, and he's either going to be your judge or he's going to be your Savior. But for your own sakes, oh, folks, those people that are trying to defend the homosexual actions in Scripture, for your own sakes, you better get in the Bible and make sure that you're right. Point number three, Black Lives Matter is anti-Christ because it's anti-family. The Scriptures tell us that God established three institutions on planet Earth. God established the home, God established civil government, and God established the ecclesia, the church. As we described a little while ago, what God's design was for the family. And understand, that was the basic building block of society, the basic building block for civilization. Now notice here, under the beliefs, we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. Folks, what that's talking about is Western Europe was known for the Reformation. And America was birthed out of the Reformation. You had the adherence to Puritanism and the separatists called the Pilgrims trying to resist against the tyranny of some of these state-run churches. But all of Western Europe had the biblical definition of the family. One man with his eyes fixed on God, joined to one woman with her eyes fixed on God, together being blessed with children and raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is the Western prescribed nuclear family. That is how God designed the nuclear family. And we see this organization intent on destroying the nuclear family structure. In future weeks, we'll talk a little bit more about Karl Marx, because you need to know. Let me tell you, one of his targets was the family. Wanted to destroy the family. I shared this with you before. Hey, you just have relationships with whoever you want to have relationships. If a woman winds up pregnant, she can deliver her baby, and she can have her baby for 6 weeks. Well, isn't that nice of the government to let her have her baby for those first 6 weeks? And then she was to turn that baby over as a ward of the state, and they would raise that baby from that point on, and she could get back to work. Understand, Marx believed that the family was nothing but a tool of capitalists trying to accumulate wealth, and we had to destroy the family if we were going to fully implement a communal utopia. Folks, it's not an accident that the family is targeted on the Black Lives Matter website, because you saw in that video last week, one of the founders is a trained Marxist. Has nothing to do with Black Lives, does it? As a matter of fact, the things that has destroyed the black community in America is trying to destroy the black family. 1960s, black families were stronger than white families, almost never divorced. You didn't have all the misbehaviors going on because you had a dad at home to help raise those children. What have we done? Well, we've subsidized unwed mothers. Boy, wasn't that brilliant. And understand, basic rule of economics, if you want to limit something, you tax it. That's why they have all these sin taxes in Oklahoma, supposedly to raise money. Oh, partially. But if you, what do you do when you, cigarettes are like $6 a pack, I guess now. Steve, how much are they? Just kidding. Okay. But it's like $3 or $4 a pack in taxes. Why? Well, they want to get people to stop smoking, right? You know, if you want to limit something, tax it. If you want to increase something, subsidize it. So what do we do in America? We want to tax profit and tax business with increasing taxes the more you make. So we want to try to restrict that. Well, that's brilliant. And then we subsidize unwed mothers. Hey, every child you have out of wedlock, we'll give you more monthly allowance. That is insane. We have effectively, efficiently destroyed the family in America. And that's exactly what their target is here. Point number four. Black Lives Matter is anti-Christ because it's anti-authority. Again, as I said a moment ago, among God's three institutions established, civil government is one that's very important and established by God. Here we see the pilgrims as they're on the Speedwell getting ready to leave Delphus Haven, Holland for England, then eventually to the New World. But you heard a wonderful message by Pastor Dan. I think it was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago on Romans 13. I will not even attempt to try to cover that in depth because he did such a fantastic job. But let me say this in passing. Romans 13 does explain the wholeness of the situation. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Hey, that could be your family government. That could be your church government. That can be civil government. There's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained by God. God established self-government, church government, family government, and civil government. Okay?
We thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. We look forward to being with you next time as we wrap up this message, Christianity and the Black Lives Matter movement. Until then, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.